You're probably wondering about this. We'll get to it in a second. How's that? Actually, this morning we want to begin. I want you to turn in your Bibles. This is the way we're going to begin this morning. To the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We want to read a passage of Scripture this morning together. If you have been here for a while, you know that sometimes we read long passages of Scripture, and this is one of those cases where we have to get the full context of what's happening today. And so John chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, read along with me if you have it there with you. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him with a purple robe. And they went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. And once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." And when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." And as soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." And the Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." And when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. And he asked Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." And from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." And when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement. And it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. And Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." And Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. And so the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, and there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. And we'll stop there in our reading. Now, so far, if you've been with us for the last several weeks in our Poured Out series, we have been receiving some significant personal challenges, haven't we? And like I said last week, they're appropriate. They're very appropriate. Everyone loves Advent, don't they? Advent, the birth of Jesus, everybody loves babies, right? Being born. But no one likes to talk about and no one likes to think about death. Their death or someone else's death. No one likes to. I've never met a person who likes to entertain thoughts of death. And so this Lenten season, this season that leads up to the death and the burial of Christ, it's really difficult, isn't it? On so many different levels, it's difficult spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but it's necessary. And today we focus on the cross of Jesus. And I'm going to do something, obviously, here a little different. Even though the death of Jesus is a sobering event, there is great personal blessing and benefit because of it. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Yeah. And so there was a great deal that was poured out on the cross that day. And I want to talk about three things that I believe were poured out on the cross, three pictures, if you will, the picture of sin, the picture of forgiveness, the picture of reconciliation. And so I believe as we touch upon all three of these pictures, all three of these things that were poured out on the cross, that we will walk away today humbled and encouraged as well, and filled with a deep gratitude as we move forward, as we go forward in our faith. It will change and alter our worship experience. It will change our faith experience as we move forward, as we understand and lean into this idea of what was poured out on the cross. So can we pray today? Let's pray. God, we need you to come and to just open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds by your Spirit, and help us to understand and to be alert and to be receptive, Lord, of what you have for us today, and to embrace it in all of its fullness. God, we need you today. Otherwise, it's just words, words put on a page, words communicated to an audience, God, and Lord, we want more than that. We need your Spirit. We need your power. And so, God, would you help me? Would you help us all? In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we come to this first picture that was poured out. I had to be really careful doing this, right? Especially with a pink shirt, right? I could have come out tie-dyed, right? Yeah. So here we come to this first picture that was poured out on what the Bible calls the place of the skull, Golgotha, the place outside the walls of Jerusalem, a place where criminals were executed by crucifixion, the Romans' preferred way of punishment, crucifixion. That is, if a criminal survived the beatings and the floggings that were given prior to crucifixion. But the crucifixion of Jesus was unlike all of the others. In fact, after Jesus took his last breath, even the sentiment of the soldiers was one of astonishment, wasn't it? And awe. They said, surely this one, it truly was the Son of God. And Peter writes about this conclusion that they all came to, that everyone came to when Jesus died. Peter said in his letter, he said, he committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When insulted and physically suffered at the hands of others, he did not retaliate, he did not resist, he did not fight what was done to him. But I want to get to this first picture that was poured out on Jesus on the cross. It's called the picture, I believe, of sin. 1 Peter 2, he says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you in his example, as you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. They hurled insults at him. He did not retaliate. He suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And this is what Peter says. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you know this one, we have been healed. You have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. And so here, this first picture, Jesus says, I bore your sin in my body on the tree. I bore your sin in my body on the tree. And all of humanity, all the sins of humanity were poured out on Jesus on the cross. Your sin, my sin, our sin, all of humanity's poured out on Jesus Christ. And the natural question is why? And Peter anticipates the question and he answers it, doesn't he? He says, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So that we might be able to experience eternal life and not eternal death. And how many think that's a blessing? That's good news. In fact, John says it. John says this. John says in Revelation 1, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Freed us from our sins. And in fact, he says it. He says this. He says in Revelation 1, chapter 5 through 7, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the king of the earth. To him, right? Everybody say to him, who loves us. I said, he has freed us from our sins by his blood. So, here we have the sins of the whole world. Your sin, my sin, our sin poured out on Jesus on the cross. So spiritual freedom could be poured out onto us. Spiritual freedom could be poured out on us. That's the first blessing. Right? There was a lot poured out on the cross. But what was poured back to us was freedom. Freedom from our sin. And I don't know about you, but that blessing, that carries a long way, doesn't it? That goes a long way. And so we have this first picture of sin. But we move to the second picture. Excuse me. We're going to call this second picture the picture of payment, or the picture of forgiveness, which I'll touch on in just a minute. But first, let me just share a few scriptures with you. One particular scripture that I find is so encouraging is this. Psalm 49, write this down if you're taking notes. Psalm 49, you might see it up there. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. That he should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that wise men die, the foolish and the senseless alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Now, it's encouraging this. Listen, often in the scriptures, the sin of humans is described as a debt. And that debt can never be satisfied. Or should I say that God is never satisfied with the payments that we try to offer him. They just fall way too short of his perfect, holy standard. No payment is ever enough, the scripture says. And so, just like the psalmist says, as exemplary and as good as our lives might be, we can't pay off the debt of sin that we owe to God. We can't do it. No payment is ever enough. But along with that is this, he says, the psalmist says, no one can redeem the life of another person. So you can't offer enough of a payment to God for yourself, and nobody can offer one for you either. That's the bad news, right? And I was just thinking this week about, you know, when we tell others about something that has happened. How many, have you ever done this? You ever led with this? Well, I've got good news and bad news. You know this one? Yeah. Which, and then it's always followed up by a question, right? Which do you want to hear first? Uh-huh. And usually, I don't know about you, but I think usually people say, give me the good news first. I want to hear the good news first. Right, got good news and bad news. Right? But I think, this is just me, if you lead with the bad news, the good news becomes even better. Huh? At least in my opinion. And really, all we're talking about today up front here, all with all these pictures, all we're talking about is basic gospel stuff. Basic. It's the God, and the gospel, listen, the gospel is bad news, good news, is a bad news, good news scenario or equation. That's what the gospel is. The gospel of Jesus is this. Humanity has a terminal problem, sin. They can't remedy the problem. Nobody else can remedy the problem. Bad news. Right? But the good news portion of the message of Jesus is that He is the solution for the problem that humans face. That's the good news. Bad news, good news. Right? So today, we're leading with bad news. But we have good news. Right? And in the New Testament, I want to say this. There's one small but powerful word that encapsulates the good news that God brings. And it's this word, but. But. And I want to share some scriptures with you. And you're going to be encouraged with this good news as you hear that this one word changes the whole dynamic of the story. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Have you heard that one? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Bad news, good news. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? You ought to be getting more excited than that. I don't know, I'm just saying. So, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Oh. But, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope that's held out in the gospel. Bad news, good news. How many like the good news? And that's not enough. Here's a part of the good news that's found in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Only God can provide the full payment, and He has. And that's good news. Through His Son, through Jesus, He has provided the payment. He was the payment for our sin. And so the good news is Jesus provided the full payment, the full redemption, and now this is what's so cool about this green picture right here. I don't know why I chose green. This seemed appropriate. I don't know. This is what's cool about this picture. Now a divine, be careful I don't spill. Now a divine picture of forgiveness is poured out on every person that trusts in and places their faith in Jesus. It's the picture of forgiveness. It was the payment. And the payment provided forgiveness. Full redemption. Full payment. Full forgiveness. Amen? And this is my hope for everybody, that you can say along with the Apostle Paul. He said this, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The grace of the Lord, the forgiveness of the Lord, the payment was provided by the Lord, and it was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Jesus. I hope everybody can say that today. Everybody. It's the pitcher of sin. It's been poured out. That's the bad news. Here's the bad news. Here's the good news. And you know what the good news is? We've been taken from here over to here. If we put our faith in Jesus. And we don't have to live in bad news. We don't have to live under bad news any longer. For us, it's only good news. Amen? And so we have so much to be grateful for and thankful for. We have so much to rejoice over. And we have, I'll just say, we have nothing to complain about. Nothing to grumble about. Because we were here, but now we're here. And we know what this is like. We know what it's like to be here. But thank God we know what it's like to be here, to be forgiven. Do you know what it's like to be forgiven? Huh? Everybody? Yeah. It's the picture of sin. It's the picture of payment. It's the picture of forgiveness. But we move over to this third picture. I like blue. It's peaceful. And we're calling it the picture of reconciliation. And how many know that you can't force reconciliation? You can't make it happen. If someone doesn't want to reconcile with you or be reunited with you or re-engage in a relationship with you, you can't force them to do that. You can't make that happen. You can't make reconciliation happen. Reconciliation, hear me, is a voluntary act. It's a voluntary act. The person freely makes steps towards you, extends forgiveness towards you if there was something that you did or something that you said or you failed to do that caused a breach in your friendship or in your relationship. And you can make as many steps as you want toward them, but if they don't turn towards you and walk towards you, there can be no reconciliation. Reconciliation is a voluntary act. And I want to say this to you. Listen, God had every right to keep his face turned away from us. We were all estranged from God because of our sin. We were distanced from God. Our stubborn insistence to want our wills to win, to resist God and make ourselves the center of all things, that created a wedge between us and God. That's bad news. But the good news is, out of love, God turned. He turned. And he made the turn toward you. And he made the turn toward me. And he walked toward us. And he devised a plan to make relationship possible. He devised a way so that reconciliation could take place. And he brought with him healing, life, forgiveness. But most importantly, he brought himself. He brought himself. Now, the only way to get here is to experience forgiveness. Huh? And embrace that gift that he gives to us. I want to share a scripture with you, 2 Corinthians. You may have heard it before. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Listen to this, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God or to God. And then it's a very, we sing the song, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 5 presses in a little deeper. He says this, he says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this is so, but we also rejoice in God through our Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received, everybody say the word, reconciliation. Reconciliation. God made the turn. And he said, I want to reestablish. I want to be reunited with those that I've created and be reconciled to them. It's the picture of sin. It's the picture of forgiveness. It's the picture of reconciliation. All of it poured out that day on the cross. And you know what the unbelievable thing is? Is that God has commissioned us to go out into the world with this message. This message that finally gets to the end game of reconciliation. That because of the perfect redeeming act of Jesus on the cross, God is not counting humans' sins against them. Amen? And that they can have an eternal relationship with the God of the universe. And I think that sometimes we forget that this is the principal task of the individual Christian and the church as a whole. And often we make it about ourselves. But the task that's been given to us is this task, sharing this with the world, sharing this message with the world. And I want to finish with this morning. When we truly understand the picture of sin and the picture of forgiveness or payment that was made and the picture of reconciliation, how God lovingly turned towards us, when we truly understand those pictures, embrace them, then we'll become excited and passionate about sharing the message of Jesus with others. But until that time, we'll have no interest in sharing the message. But if it really means something to us, that we really understand that our sins were poured out on Christ on the cross, and that he poured back forgiveness for all of our sin, and that he miraculously and graciously and tenderly wants a relationship with us, an eternal relationship. When we really understand those things, we're going to become so excited about sharing that message with others. Why wouldn't we want others to experience this message of bad news, good news, right? Why wouldn't we want others to experience that? Amen? So let's just close with prayer today. I just invite you just to, today, just close your eyes. Just begin to think about the things that you've heard today. God, we thank you. We thanks is really not enough. We really can't even communicate it with enough words or the right words to express our gratitude for what we have because of that gracious act on the cross. But we're going to do the best we can, God, and we're going to say thank you with our lives, our hearts, our worship, our relationships. We want to say we are so grateful. So, so grateful. That you've remedied the bad news. That you took the initiative. Made it possible for us to know you. Forgive us when we take that lightly. Forgive us when we fail to understand. To say this to maybe a few. Maybe you're here today and you're hearing about this message of the cross of Jesus for the very first time, and you realize that you are trapped in this life of destructive sin, and you desperately want to experience the forgiveness of God and begin a faith relationship with Him. If that's you today, I just invite you to raise your hand and put it back down. And by doing so, you're saying, I want to become a follower of Jesus. I want to experience the forgiveness of God and the eternal life that He offers. And I believe that His cross was for me. And if you believe that that you want to do that today, I just invite you to raise your hand, put it back down. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here and you've been a Christian for years and years and years and years. But today that you've been awakened by the Holy Spirit and He has brought some clarity to your soul on what the cross means for you. Not what it means for the world necessarily right now, but what it means for you. Freedom, forgiveness, and the humbling truth that God made it all possible for you to have a relationship with Him. And you have some real clarity about that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to just express your thanks and respond in this way. I'm just going to encourage you, if you feel like you really gained some huge clarity in your life about what the cross means, I'm just going to encourage you just to walk up to either one of the communion tables and just begin to privately begin to thank Jesus for what He has done in your life. It's been opened to you, awakened to you. Just go ahead and walk up to those tables and begin to pour out your gratitude to Jesus. Yeah. Just in your heart, you think, well, I thought I knew what all was poured out to me, but it's becoming more clear to me. I just want to say thank you, God. Just step out from where you're at.
think we all need.
No, you go ahead. Go there and there. Just go. Go here. Why don't you just sit with Sherry? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just invite you to stand. Just invite you to stand. God, we just, we're praying that you continue to pour out upon us, Lord. Pour out upon us forgiveness and pour out upon us your grace and just pour out upon us, God, revelation that we would understand all that the cross means for us and all that it means for the world. So God, I just thank you so much for all that you're doing, have done, and will continue to do. It's been a good morning together. We say yes and amen to all that you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Be blessed. Remember those pictures.